Hey there, San Diego. It's Andrew Bracken in for Jade Hindman. Law enforcement agencies in California have shared license plate data with federal agencies. What privacy groups are saying about it under the backdrop of increased immigration enforcement. This is KPBS Midday Edition, connecting our communities through conversation. Under state law, police departments cannot share license plate data with outside agencies. That law has been routinely violated in California. The San Diego Police Department shared data with federal agencies approximately 60 times in 2024. The department has since stopped sharing its data after the state attorney general got involved. But advocates are voicing their concerns about privacy and surveillance, especially amid President Trump's mass deportation campaign. We want to discuss more what this looks like on the state and local levels. Here to help us do that, Gustavo Solis. He is KPBS's investigative border reporter. Hey, Gustavo.
Hello.
And also, Kari Johnson joins us. He's a technology reporter with Cal Matters. Hi, Kari.
Hi.
So, Gustavo, how did this story first get on your radar?
Well, that's a good question. I've been following this issue on and off for a couple of years now. I'm an immigration border reporter by trade, so I come into it when police surveillance interacts with immigration enforcement. And this example, multiple folks reached out to me about it. There's been year-long advocacy effort to try to impose more limits on the police use of this. And more recently, you know, with what the Trump administration is doing in terms of immigration enforcement, that push to limit some of these surveillance technologies is getting a lot of strength, a lot more support, because people are connecting the dots in a more direct way between police surveillance and immigration enforcement.
And how exactly is this data being collected?
All sorts of ways. I mean, it's collected every time you're out in the public, right? So ALPR, automated license plate reader data, these are cameras installed throughout the city. There's about 500 throughout San Diego. They capture your license plate every time you drive by. And they don't just capture it once, right? They keep track of it in a way, right? They like just think about this, right? Every time you drive by, they get your car, obviously the make, model, color of it, the time of day it passed, and the direction it was heading. And if you have 500 of these cameras throughout the city, like, think about that. If they get enough data, they're going to be able to figure out, if they want to, where do you like to do your grocery shopping? When do you like to do go to the gym? Which gym do you like to go to? Normally, what time do you leave your house? Right? That's what this data allows people to do, right? That's not, I want to be clear, that's not how the police is using it. But that is the potential applicability of it.
Right.
I mean, you can track a lot of people's whereabouts throughout the day.
And Kari, you know, Gustavo there is kind of illuminating some of the power that this data could potentially have and some of, you know, the information it holds. What do we know about, you know, what law enforcement agencies actually do with this data?
Law enforcement agencies can use the data to trace the last time, you know, a vehicle registered to a certain person was in a place. So, you know, there's those kinds of searches are available, but, you know, tracking down stolen vehicles, I think, is a common use that is, you know, that law enforcement agencies talk about. People who are connected to crimes. I think in the Oakland area, for example, there was a lot of, you know, push for a license plate reader activity, I believe, in response to stolen vehicles.
I see. So, Gustavo, even though state law, it does bar local police from sharing this data with federal agencies, they haven't exactly followed that guidance, have they?
No, they haven't. And that's what we've been finding out more recently, right? You alluded to it in the intro, more than 60 times. It was 62 times that we found, I shouldn't say it that way. It's really 62 times that the police department in their annual surveillance report disclosed that they did this, right? But again, the report does make it clear none of those 62 times were for immigration-related searches. But that's beside the fact, because that 2015 law, SB 34, is clear. It says no sharing with out-of-state or federal agencies. independent of whether it's an immigration-related search or not. So I think that's become clear. Since the police department disclosed this, the city's privacy advisory board raised concerns, the Trust Coalition, different privacy advocates raised concerns, and I think most noteworthy, the state attorney general, you know, reached out to the department and said, hey, we need to talk about this. We need to review your policies. And now, finally, the department has stopped sharing with those out-of-state agencies.
So, Kari, zooming out here, your reporting, as you mentioned, you know, looks at police agencies across California who share data with federal agents. What other departments were found to be sharing data in your reporting?
Yeah, so CalMatters obtained a log of automated license plate reader data and searches that were carried out in Riverside County from April 28th to May 30th. And some of those are by Riverside County Sheriff's Office and some are by outside agencies. And that log contains, for each search, a justification. And more than 100 of those searches have the justification HSI, which we believe stands for Homeland Security Investigations. And the Sheriff's Department in Orange and San Diego County carried out searches involving CBP, which is, we believe, stands for Customs and Border Protection or the Border Patrol. And in total, about a dozen law enforcement agencies through Southern California were involved with those searches. You know, I'll note here, though, that, you know, ongoing public records requests by groups like the American Civil Liberties Union and Electronic Frontier Foundation, dating back to 2022, 2023, found that more than 70 law enforcement agencies statewide were in violation of Senate Bill 34, this law that was passed a decade ago, which includes, you know, security standards and things of that nature, privacy standards for how this information can be used. But also, as Gustavo was talking about, the prohibition on sharing that information with out-of-state or federal public agencies.
Gustavo?
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to ask Kari a little bit more about, like, what was San Diego Sheriff's Department doing? I'd be curious to know. Like, reading your piece, it sounds like they were doing searches on behalf of federal agencies.
That's the impression we got. You know, the San Diego Sheriff's Department, when asked for comment about those particular searches and sent the particulars and timestamps of the searches and things of that nature, said that that the matter required further internal review, and that if any personnel are found in violation of their policies, that they'll take appropriate action. We haven't heard anything since then, but, you know, 491,000 searches were in this log over this time period. And again, it's some of them are from Riverside County and some are from law enforcement agencies from other parts of the state. And some that the San Diego County Sheriff's Department were doing were, I think, roughly a dozen of them mentioned something about, like, Air Bud. This is the 1997 Disney film.
Oh, weird.
You know, that's not what I'd characterize as probably the kind of justification that the attorney general had in mind when asking law enforcement agencies to spell out why a search was done.
Did they tell you what that meant?
Yeah, what was the reason?
So random.
I requested additional comment on that and had an opportunity to speak with the undersheriff, who essentially said in a number of words that doesn't seem right. I think the word insane was used. But, you know, so I think some of the agencies who I spoke with were clear in articulating that the justifications for different searches did not seem up to par with what is necessary for articulating why a search was done in the first place. Mm-hmm. And really, I think that that's a big part of, you know, an important part of this discussion. What's more concerning than the 100 searches involving HSI or CBP, Oakland Privacy, the group who shared this information with us, said, is that there's more than 60,000 searches in the log that just have vague justifications. And those could be done for just about anything. And I'm not implying that this happened here, but in some instances in other parts of the country, police officers misused ALPR data to do things like track ex-girlfriends. So again, you know, for all of those different searches that could be done for federal authorities or just about anything.
Gustavo, what can you tell us about Flock, the parent company of these programs?
I mean, they're not new. They've been around for a long time. They definitely have a large presence in this space in supplying law enforcement agencies across the country with this technology and using their platform for data storage and things like that. I know they've come under criticism multiple times over a number of years for their involvement in collaboration with federal law enforcement agencies like ICE, like Border Patrol, and now more recently Homeland Security Investigations. So that's something. This is not a new concern because of the Trump era. I mean, folks were raising these concerns in the first Trump term during the Biden administration. This is a company that, at least in the immigrant rights, privacy advocacy space, has been under scrutiny for a long time now.
Kari, anything to add there about Flock, the company kind of behind a lot of this technology we're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I would just say that Flock Safety is considered one of the largest ALPR companies in the country. I think by their count, they're in more than 5,000 communities. You know, it's unclear to me what it looks like when deployed in San Diego, but ALPR cameras from Flock, you can see them in public places and in busy thoroughfares, and you know, you can usually recognize them by the solar panel on top and this thing that kind of looks like a Ring doorbell below it.
So, Gustavo, you know, you both spoke to anti-surveillance groups in your reporting that were, you know, working to bring attention to this issue. And you spoke with the Trust Coalition in San Diego. What concerns did they bring up to you?
A couple of different concerns. One is just how this data could be used in the wrong hands. I mean, like I said, it gives us a lot of information. So in the age of Trump's mass deportation campaign, it does raise some very obvious concerns. But besides that, there's a couple different aspects of it, right? Right now, San Diego is in the middle of budget cuts, right? We are cutting up some library services, some park services, while at the same time asking every San Diegan to pay more for trash pickup, to pay more for parking. And this technology isn't cheap. The police department spends about $2 million a year to keep it going. So the ask was, hey, look, it's a bad combination to keep this funding while eliminating this program. And they made an interesting argument, not just the Trust Coalition, but also the city's Privacy Advisory Board. They looked at the internal data from the San Diego Police Department showing the number of searches and the number that those searches resulted in useful information for an investigation. And they discovered that even by the department's own data, it shows that less than 1% of all searches result in a successful search. So they're saying, look, this data is potentially very dangerous if it's put into the wrong hands, is very costly. It doesn't result in a high number of successful searches. Let's maybe pause. And that's not even to mention the potential for human error with this policy, right? Generally speaking, just the concern is that we have this new technology, like this shiny new toy that has a lot of capabilities that we don't really fully understand yet. And we're implementing it before we really build a comprehensive data retention plan, data safety plan, and the layer of, you know, this eroding trust between immigrant communities and the local police when local communities think that even indirectly, right? I want to make it clear, in California, state sanctuary laws prevent the police department from enforcing immigration laws, from asking you where you're from or what your status is. But there's the concern that indirectly data collected by that department could then be used in the immigration enforcement context. And even though that's not the intent of the local agencies, that still disrupts trust in the community.
But it's still striking to hear you say, just kind of questioning the efficacy of it, because I think a lot of times when we think about data and using data, is it's exacting and it's like, you know, it's helping with whatever problem we're trying to have it solve. But you're saying it's not even that effective at the end of the day either, on top of all this.
Not if you look at it as just the data, right? The overall percentage of successful searches versus overall. Now, the police department, and, you know, I brought these criticisms up to them, and they said it kind of misses the point, right? The police captain, Charles Lara, said, look, I have a lot of tools in my tool belt. I don't use all of them every day, but when I need to use one, you better believe I'm glad I have it. They did point that since this program has been installed, they've recovered about 350 vehicles. So they can kind of point to individual examples, individual investigations. Like, look, we helped a hate crime investigation around the Hillcrest area, right? They can point to individual examples to say, yes, overall it's less than 1%, but it makes a big difference for these individuals. That's kind of how they're combating that criticism.
When we come back, we continue our conversation on the concerns over license plate data and how it could be used.
We have a lot of unanswered questions about how law enforcement agencies throughout the state are using this technology and the extent to which they may be assisting in immigration efforts and violating state law.
That's ahead on Midday. Welcome back to KPBS Midday Edition. I'm Andrew Bracken, in for Jade Hindman. Right now, we're talking about the trend of California police illegally sharing license plate data with federal agencies. That includes law enforcement in San Diego. I'm joined by Gustavo Solis. He's KPBS investigative border reporter, along with Kari Johnson, who covers technology for Cal Matters. So, Kari, Gustavo spoke with the Trust Coalition here in San Diego, and as you mentioned earlier, you connected with the group Oakland Privacy. What were their concerns about license plate data and how it's being used?
Yeah, you know, I think there's two things that come to mind. You know, one part of what I said earlier, you know, of Oakland Privacy Advocacy Director Tracy Rosenberg. She's really a person who spent a long time thinking about how this technology could be misused and concerned about that and advocating for laws to regulate its use in Sacramento. And, you know, I believe she's a person who has a concern with it, you know, the data, hoovering up data of people who aren't accused of crimes. And, you know, something that we discussed was that the rise of the surveillance state and how something like ALPR could play a role in that is something that she feels like used to be hypothetical. But It's not something that she has to, in this context, thinking about it, the information being shared and possibly being used in immigration and deportations. It doesn't feel hypothetical anymore, is the way that she put it. And again, you know, I think her concern has a lot to do with the number of these searches that were vague in their justification, because those could be used for just about anything.
And Kari, there has been some, you know, push for statewide legislation. It's been introduced to better regulate these license plate reader programs. Where does that effort stand right now?
Yeah, so State Senator Sabrina Cervantes actually represents Riverside, and she put forward a bill to require deleting collected ALPR data, I want to say after 60 days. That bill passed out of the California Senate and is on its way to be considered by committees in the California Assembly. But, you know, she was telling me in a statement that law enforcement agencies across our state are not following existing state law governing the use of automated license plate readers, and that an audit that the state of California carried out for a smaller amount of agencies in 2020 showed that to be the case.
Gustavo, you've talked about this a little bit earlier, but can you talk a little bit more about how these concerns over immigration enforcement are affecting the support for license plate reader data?
I think it echoes a little bit of what Kari was talking about, how some of these concerns may have seemed abstract just a few months ago, and they seem a little bit more real now. Especially here in San Diego, there was a definite shift in tone after the immigration raid in South Park. Right, it was militarized. HSI was there. HSI, you know, for the audience, Homeland Security Investigations, they're an organization that mostly has had good standing throughout its history, right? They're seen as sort of an elite unit within ICE, and they don't go after, you know, workplace raids and rounding up farm workers. They focus on long-term investigations, going after the head of international drug cartels and human trafficking rings. So they've had a good reputation of that, but now they're being used for rounding up folks without status and who also don't have criminal record, and they're lost a little bit of that status. So they were at that raid in South Park, and I think the shift in tone, you can really see it play out in one of the most recent city council budget hearings we had. There was a lot of pushback over these policies. And one council member in San Diego, Stephen Whitburn, had like this really interesting line when he talked about, look, he voted for this system. He believes in it. He thinks it can be a good tool to use crime or to fight crime, sorry. But he started to connect the dots and see, like, you know, in the past, I thought this was hypothetical, but no, I can see how a reasonable person would be afraid of this getting in the wrong hands. I can see how a reasonable fear would be that the Trump administration will just go straight to Flock and take their data through a subpoena or legal action or whatever, right? Because once it's in a third party, we lose local control over it. That's the fear. So he did say, like, look, I support this technology in the past, but now it's a totally different ballgame. And he said a line that I really liked that said, look, the point of public safety, the primary focus, the primary objective of public safety is to have people feel safe. And now I can see, after hearing from the audience and after seeing what happened in South Park, I can see how ALPR technology is right now making people feel not safe. So he is open to having conversations about whether or not we should use it going forward.
Kari, you know, as a technology reporter, you're kind of in this space around data a lot. I think one common thing we've probably at this point, all of us have experienced data breaches or had our data leaked. It seems like every other week, some company, something, you know, has happened at this point. And to Gustavo's point, this is a large amount of information and we kind of lose control over it. I guess I'm just curious, you know, in your beat, the kind of things you report on, it does seem like this is taking on, getting more attention, and people are becoming more concerned about it. How are you thinking about the relationship between technology and data and the relationship to our governments, whether it's state, federal, local?
I think that there are a number of instances, as Gustavo just so well, you know, did such a good job articulating, where just how much data is being collected or how that might play a role in our lives is no longer hypothetical. And, you know, I think what we see in the reporting me and my colleague did and in Gustavo's work, you know, is also being reflected in, you know, the concerns that are being shown in some of the reporting of local law enforcement agencies in places like Illinois or Oregon by 404 Media's reporting in the last couple of weeks, also doing searches, license plate searches, it's believed on the behalf of federal authorities. And, you know, I think the reporting me and my colleague did shine a light on ALPR data in one county for 1 month. And I think we have a lot of unanswered questions about how law enforcement agencies throughout the state are using this technology and the extent to which they may be assisting in immigration efforts and violating state law.
I've been speaking with Kari Johnson. He covers technology for Cal Matters. Kari, thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely.
And Gustavo Solis has also been here, KPBS border reporter. Gustavo, thanks as always.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew.
That's our show for today. I'm Andrew Bracken. KPBS Midday Edition airs on KPBS FM weekdays at noon, again at 8 p.m. You can find past episodes at kpbs.org or wherever you listen. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day.